This is Virginia Reloaded, presented by Gun Owners of America, fighting for your rights in the Commonwealth and beyond.
It is another Saturday night, and we are coming to you live. If you're watching this on our YouTube page, Facebook page, Twitter page, whatever page you're watching on, whatever way you watch our show, that's great. If you're listening to the audio-only broadcast, thank you, Nick, and all the producers for making that possible. That comes out every Monday. Wednesday. It comes out every Wednesday. Or maybe it's Monday. I don't know. I have to check. Whatever. My name is John Crump. I am the Virginia Director of Gun Owners of America, Washington's only no-compromise gun lobby, and I am the State Director for the State of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I am joined by my esteemed co-host, the host of Gorillas and Guns, the Manila Gorilla himself, Silverback, also known as Scott Ayers. How are you doing, Scott?
Man, I'm doing good, John. You know, it's a Saturday night and ain't nothing better than talking about some gun rights.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Gun rights is something that is very near and dear to my heart and is near and dear to your heart. We are indeed brought to you by Gun Owners of America. And Gun Owners of America is a place that's near and dear to my heart. Everyone there is great. We all try to work ourselves out of a job, and hopefully we will win. Duck Mail, happy Easter to you too, and thank you for the eggs over on the on the Twitch page. Thank you so much. All right, so we have a lot to get into and not a lot of time. I don't know if we're going to be recording next Saturday, or we might do a Sunday or later. Depends how tired I am. I'm flying back in that day, so it might be a little bit tough. But we like to start out here with the gun of the day. But before we go do that, I want to say happy Easter to my co-host and to everyone out there.
Yeah, all right. Happy Easter to you as well, John, and everybody watching.
All right, let's go ahead and start out with your gun of the day, okay?
All right.
Then we'll jump into mine. Since you chose an AR, I had to go redo my AR or my gun of the day and pick an AR because, you know.
Got to be matchy-matchy, right?
Got to be matchy-matchy.
So this AR is kind of near and dear to my heart because this is the very first AR I've ever owned, and I built it myself or assembled it myself, but I had a lot of help from good friends here through YouTube helped me build this. They donated me a lot of parts and pieces for this, and I thank them incredibly because this thing is such a sweet shooting rifle. I love it.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's made out of, a bunch of different parts and pieces. Some parts come from Palmetto State Armory. The handguard is from Gorilla Machining. The upper and lower are Aero Precision. And the buffer tube assembly is Aero Precision as well. And the grip is a Magpul grip. And like I said, it came from a bunch of friends here on YouTube. Bunch of great guys, I tell you. Since I've been doing this whole thing, I've met a bunch of great people.
I'm trying to pit you here. I keep on pitting me there instead.
There we go.
I see it now. I don't get it. Whatever. That is a very, very nice rifle. I'm going to show you mine. I noticed that you have the six hour red dot. What 6 hour model is that?
I believe that's the Romeo 5, I think it is. Yeah.
Romeo 5. And tell us about the stand.
Oh, the stand. Okay. That was made for me by a gentleman named Saul. And he owns, what the heck was it called? Rad Labs 3D. And he 3D printed it. And I asked him for a banana since, you know, hey, I'm a gorilla. And gorillas love bananas, right? So he went above and beyond his means to 3D print this. He said it was one of the most challenging things he's ever had to print, and man, I'll tell you, he did a damn good job of it.
Yeah, that looks hard, just knowing 3D printing that. Yeah, I mean, that is pretty much insane there.
Yeah, and it came out great, man. I mean, he went above and beyond my expectations 100% with this thing.
All right, let me go ahead and show you mine now. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and remove this. And then we are going to pop up my screen here, which is another AR. And that is mine right there.
Nice. Is that a can on the end there?
Yes, it is. This is from a company that I don't think they're in business anymore. The lower is at least, and the upper. It's an Adcore billet lower. They were a company out of Baltimore. It's a billet top. I cannot remember who made the handguard. Sorry, but it is a oh my God, I can't remember what the barrel is. Something ballistic. I don't know. It's a really good barrel. A little stream light on there. I have a new sling coming in tomorrow. In fact,
nice.
Ballistic Advantage. That's who makes the barrel. I have the Vortec, like the Razor, the Huey, holographic sight on there. Magpul flip ups, Magpul back end, Magpul grip. Also, a Mission First Tactical forward grip, and Rick Silenium suppressor, titanium suppressor.
Nice, very nice indeed.
Oh, and a Geissele trigger. So it it's off an SBR.
Yeah. See, it looks a little
10.5 inch. The handguard's actually 12 inches, but the barrel is actually 10.5 inch, so the suppressor fits in there 2 inches. So it doesn't.
It looks pretty cool though. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. The suppressor is a burnt bronze. Gives it a little bit of flair. It's a very, very, it's a very, very good shooting rifle.
Now, is your bolt carrier group there, is that nickel?
Yeah, it's a nickel boron.
All right.
So it's with the, like, it's silver. But yeah, the bolt carrier, I think it's spikes. Okay. Actually, no, I replaced that. It's an AB Arms.
Right.
I upgraded the barrel. I mean, not the barrel, the bolt. Carrier group to an AB Arms group recently. I forgot I did that. Yeah, so it's a very, very nice shooting rifle. It's very dependable, very accurate.
Yeah, it looks good too. I like the setup. That handguard's really cool. I like how it's all nice and round and looks like it'd be pretty ergonomic.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It got the little pressure pad on top and everything. I like it.
Yeah.
This is my first SBR.
It says freedom all over it.
Oh, yeah. Besides, I had to register it. But
yeah.
All right. You want to get into some actual news now? But we got the fun part out. All right. As you saw in the title, I want to say hi to Jason King out there and John Voorhees, Duckmail. As well, who gave us eggs. There you go. I wanted to talk about, as the title said, renewed calls for gun control in Virginia. If you don't know, there's been a few shootings in Virginia Beach. Not the good part of Virginia Beach. So instead of dealing with the actual causes of the shooting, which is crime, poverty, and all that other good stuff, or bad stuff in this case, they want to go after the guns, of course. And they're using this as a excuse to pass or try to talk the governor into passing new gun regulations next year. What do you think?
I think it's a typical move from them, and I kind of seen it coming after that incident that happened, what was it, last weekend, right down there, right at the oceanfront, wasn't it?
Yes.
There were like three different incidences all in the same stretch, all around the same period of time, and it was kind of interesting that they think all three of them are separate incidences. I'm not too sure about that, and I haven't really heard any more about it.
Yeah, but didn't they pass a bunch of new gun laws already, like universal background checks, one gun a month, red flag laws?
Right. And what did they do to prevent this?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing at all. Well, Abigail Spanberger is jumping on the bandwagon. Yeah, Abigail Spanberger defeated... we talked about her last week.
Did we talk about her last
week? She defeated Nick Freitas.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was her. Yep, all right. I remember now.
By a margin of a found flash drive by one of her staffer's husbands.
Yeah. Just mysteriously out of nowhere, right at midnight, right?
No, it was the next day after.
Was it the next day?
Yeah, they were like, oh, well, we could flash drive. So that is interesting. So they're trying to push all this other stuff like that. And they're talking about the Charleston loophole. You know,
and what is the Charleston loophole?
The Charleston loophole is, I'm going to bring up the definition because who knows with all these freaking things. purchases by people barred from buying guns.
Okay, so if the background checks are being run on these people, how are they getting...
Because it's delayed background checks.
The delayed background checks?
Yeah, if it's more than 3 days.
Oh, okay. That's the loophole they're talking about. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Not like this is not like the gun show loophole that they suppose exists as well, right?
Yeah, and they're also using Colorado, what happened in Colorado, to try to push their stuff.
We figured would happen. Colorado, Atlanta, and the one recently there out in California. I'm sure they're eyeing that one as well.
Yeah. And what they're trying to do is push this to help try to pass H.R. 8 and H.R. 1446.
Mm-hmm.
H.R. 1446 is the enhanced background checks, or that H.R. 8, one of the two. And they're saying this will close the Charleston loophole. What it would do is it will change the amount of time an FFL has to wait for a result before they can transfer a firearm legally from 3 days to 10 days, but the FFL still can't legally transfer the firearm. What they can do is have the purchaser petition to get an answer, and then they had to wait another 10 days. Then after that, then they can finally transfer it.
So really, it's 20 days for
at least, because after 10 days, that's you can't file until 10 days.
Right. And then you gotta wait another 10 days from your filing point.
Yeah, so if you don't file on that day, then it's another 10 days. So at least 20 days.
Yeah, potentially, right. See, now I get lucky when I go for my background checks. As soon as they go into the computer, they come right back and say, okay.
That's the way it should be, because it is called instant, you know, National Instant Check System.
Correct. Right. Yeah. However, it didn't used to be like that. I mean, I used to have to wait 2-3 hours sometimes, but you know, that was the longest I ever had to wait.
Yeah, I've never really had to wait that long. I never had to wait at all. Maybe it's because of my clearances or whatnot.
Very possible.
Or I used to own a gun shop.
That could be another.
But even before I owned a gun shop, I didn't have to really wait. So right now, it doesn't look like these bills are going to go anywhere. It doesn't look like they have enough votes. Romney is not going to vote for it. Mm-hmm. Also, Manchin from West Virginia says he's not going to vote for it.
Excellent.
But they just gave Manchin's wife a position in the administration, which might be a pay-for-play type situation.
Right, and that's kind of what I thought, too, when I first seen that article. I was like, now that he's bought off Manchin, maybe the filibuster is in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do it for H.R. 8 or H.R. 1446. No. They did it to try to get the filibuster.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, when it works for them, they love it. But when it works against them, which they're afraid in this situation it will, which is why they hate it right now.
Exactly. It's just like when they killed the filibuster for judicial appointments.
Mm-hmm.
They were celebrating that. Then once they stopped losing, once they started losing the ability to block Trump appointees, particularly Gersage and Kavanaugh, then all of a sudden they decided, hey, we don't like this. You shouldn't be using this without a supermajority. And it's like, you're the guys who killed it.
Mm-hmm.
But we really need to keep the pressure on Manchin, because he's the linchpin right there.
Right. Yep.
If they flip him,
deciding factor.
And they flip him, you know, that's it. That's it. If they flip him, he's not going to get reelected. And I think that's the only thing that's keeping him from actually voting for it, is because he knows he's not going to get reelected. So if you're in West Virginia, we know we're a Virginia show, you need to really keep pressure on him. And Gun Owners of America will do everything possible to defeat Manchin. If he flips.
Right. Now that's what's great about the GOA. They're on top of it and they don't relent whatsoever.
Yeah. We're going to see another bill coming out probably in 2 weeks. That is going to be a little bit sketchy. When I say sketchy, I mean it's going to have a great chance of passing. So gear up, everyone. Gear up, everyone, for a big fight in the next 2 weeks. I don't want to tip our hand too much, but we're going to all have to gear up. Every single one of us. Everyone is going to have to gear up.
Yeah, everybody has to pitch in, you know, because this is not something that only a few people can take care of. It's a collective group. And, you know, if you consider yourself a 2A supporter, you need to really jump in the ring and speak up for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're probably going to not see a lot of legislation over the next 2 weeks because of Easter. And one thing about Congress is they like to take their breaks.
Yes, they do.
They're always nice, taking breaks, man.
They're nice paid holidays.
Yeah, the paid holidays, they're automatic pensions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got in Congress, what I would do is just be sworn in and just be like, all right, resign, give me my pension.
Jason King wants to know if it will be a federal or a Virginia level bill.
Federal. Federal, coming out of the Senate, and it's going to have a really good chance of passing. Don't make those phone calls this week. Make the phone calls on H.R. 8 and H.R. 46. We got to kill these first before we worry about any legislation coming down after this. We got to kill this, and we got to save the filibuster. Then we'll worry about the new legislation. When the new legislation gets launched, we will deal with it at that point. I already have an article ready to go, man. So that will come out, but we have a tough fight. We're going to have a tough few years coming ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Biden, for example, he wants to do some executive action that is impossible to undo. Not exactly sure what that means.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, because, I mean, if he could write his executive orders to get rid of other people's executive orders, then how is his going to be untouchable?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. I think that's going to go back to the ATF changing the definition of a firearm.
Right.
He's going to order them to look at it. He's not going to order them to do it. He's going to order them to look at the definition.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, they already have a thing out for unfinished frames and unfinished receivers. Yep. So they're going to go after that. I think that's probably what they're talking about. He's going to word it in such a way that's going to leave it up to the ATF. And the ATF is going to go in there. We already know they want to change the definition of a firearm.
Right. They want to use what the European standard
is. The European standard. Yeah, right now it looks like they want, and I don't think they're going to get all this through, the frame, the slide, the bolt, and the barrel. All serialized. And they all have the matching serial numbers.
Hmm.
I don't think they're going to get that. They're probably going to settle for the slide in the frame or change it just to the frame. Because right now, modern day firearms really does not meet the definition of a firearm.
Right. So what's that going to do for, say, like guns like the P320, where the actual trigger mechanism is what the serialized part is?
That is a good question. That is a very good question. I did find out how they decided to serialize the receiver of AR. They found a flat spot.
They found a flat spot. There you go. There's where you could put the serial number, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
You gotta remember the AR came before the GCA.
Hmm.
Gun Control Act of 1968.
Yep.
And the definition of firearm is not actually in law. It's actually an ATF regulation. So the ATF can change it according to themselves.
Yeah, according to themselves, they can do a lot of stuff that they probably can't or shouldn't be doing.
That is definitely true. But we will see exactly what they change and how they change it. But it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be very, very tough.
Right. John Voorhees, I believe he's talking about the upper, not the lower, because the lowers are already serialized.
Yeah. But I think they're going to want to change it. I think... Firearms that's already serialized, I think they're going to be exempted.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them giving a lot of leeway for firearms going forward. And one of the things that they're doing this because, you know, anyone can 3D print. Like I'm 3D printing a Glock frame in the room next to me. And anyone could do that, right?
Right. Yeah, as long as you have a 3D printer.
As long as you have a 3D printer. But, I mean, I can mill out a frame if I want because I got a CNC machine.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't have a CNC machine at home to do gun work. Even gunsmiths usually don't have a CNC machine.
No. Gunsmiths usually just fix them. They don't manufacture them, so to speak. Not all of them anyway. There are some gunsmiths out there who do manufacture, but I don't think a lot of gunsmiths want to go down that road because, again, that's a lot of expensive equipment you have to get. Eventually, I'd like to be in that ballpark and have all that nice, fancy, expensive equipment, but, you know, baby steps.
You'll get there.
Working on it.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt that you'll get there, man. You're going to be my go-to guy for gunsmithing.
Right on.
I still have the other gun right behind me.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you. I can't wait to get that thing and get some work done on it.
We're going to have to do a transfer, though, if we want to do it legally.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you offline about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other news, what do you think about the American Bar Association?
The American Bar Association. Is that the other thing you sent me here?
Yeah. They're...
Amend Federal Firearms Act. Okay. Let me get rid of this. Yes, I know you use cookies.
Yeah. American Bar Association, which is basically where all the lawyers get They have to be a member of the bar. They are pushing to make Congress act to get rid of firearms and scary guns and...
To anybody under 18 years of age. Well, first off, I mean, people under 18 already can't buy them. So
if that's all they want, deal.
Yeah, which the things they come up with really baffle me, because how do you put laws on top of laws that already exist? You know, that's just, it's so redundant, it's ridiculous. I mean, a kindergartner can see through this.
Yeah, they definitely can. And it's letting their left-wing politics kind of drive the bar. And the bar shouldn't be about political. It should be apolitical. Right. They claim to be nonpartisan. But if you read some of the stuff they put out, it's not really nonpartisan.
No, because you got people that have their own opinions and things, and they like to put their opinions in on their jobs, which they shouldn't be doing, especially in this case. You know, it's not their job to assert their own opinions.
Yeah, it definitely isn't their job to assert their own opinions, but yet they seem to do it all the time.
Yep. That's the leftist way of life right there.
Yeah, it definitely is. It is definitely the leftist way of life out there.
So basically this thing looks like it wants to expand the NFA, really, right?
Basically, yeah. Kind of a lot of like what Biden's been talking about doing.
Right. Yep, it's going to expand the background checks, and basically that's what I'm seeing. Make it registration for firearms, heavier taxes. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they really think that, you know, they're going to tax everybody and legislate everybody out of the Second Amendment, and they really have another thing coming, so...
Yeah, John Voorhees has got a book called Unmasked by Andy Ngo. I read it. It's a great book. And everyone should read it.
He's that independent journalist, right, that has been attacked several times at the Antifa rallies?
Correct.
Yeah, I won't say it. He's a good guy. I've read some of his stuff, and, you know,
it's really good reporting. It's just very good reporting, actually.
Mm-hmm. And he's independent, and he doesn't assert his own opinions into it. He just presents the facts, which is what I like about him.
And he gets attacked. There's a person that recommended his book, musician, and they got attacked for recommending his book. And his book's very fair.
Yeah.
It just talks about Antifa.
Right. Well, the funniest thing I thought was, you know, the one time that he got attacked and showed it about the Antifa, and they were all screaming at him to go home, that he was a fascist, you know, and he's Asian. He's everything that they supposedly support and love. He's Asian. He's homosexual, you know, and you know, but they're out there being what they say they're against, you
because
know?
He shows the proof, the truth.
Right. Right.
Man, we have a tough time ahead of us, man. I mean, I don't know. We are winning, though. Across the country, we are winning.
No, more and more states are coming up with that constitutional carry, man, and it's so exciting to see.
Yeah. Constitutional carry is up to 19, and Texas is probably going to be 20.
Right. I guess Ohio's got some legislation in the works, or they're getting ready to introduce some legislation for it as well.
Yes, I don't think it's going to pass, though.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, it's going to go the same way our constitutional carry legislation went, but you have to introduce it over and over again until it starts passing.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Back in the 90s, there was no concealed carry anywhere. And now all 50 states have some version of concealed carry, even if it's a shall issue, may issue. Most states are shall issue.
Yep.
So we are winning on the state level, and I think that's what kind of scares the anti-gun people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read an article the other day, and that's where they say they want to attack is at the state level now. They no longer wish to go at federal level. Now they want to start entering the states.
Yeah. The federal level has been a giant, like, nothing gets done on the federal level. So... And that's where they've really been concentrating on. So we started concentrating on the state level, and now they're playing catch up.
Right. Because they see us putting the work in and actually achieving some goals. And again, like you said, that scares them, because when everything on the federal level doesn't go their way and these states are going ahead and passing stuff that's not of their approval, now they're starting to realize, okay, our fight, like ours, is not on the federal level so much more as it is on the state.
Well, you got to think about it. We compete with grassroots. They compete with tons of money that they just throw at it.
Right.
Like, everyone's funded by Bloomberg. Moms Demand Action's funded by Bloomberg. Every town's funded by Bloomberg. You know, they have all these big organizations, and even state governments. Virginia gave Gifford millions of dollars for their anti-gun violence type stuff. And other states have too. New Jersey has. So that's they're all about getting the money and trying to buy people off, buy politicians, where, you know, we have grassroots. We have more the death by a thousand paper cuts.
Right.
And we've been winning on the state level because that's where grassroots really shines.
Exactly.
So I think that scares them.
Well, I mean, the grassroots, because we have so many people coming at them, you know, money only goes so far. You know, I'm not going to take $1 million and say, well, that angry mob that's after me, I'm not scared of them now because I have all this paper in my hand.
Well, think about this, right? Money cannot buy you grassroots.
No.
Only passion can buy you grassroots. There's a term called AstroTurf. Are you familiar with that term?
AstroTurf?
Yeah. Well, not the actual yet. Stuff on like NFL fields, yeah. But
right. That's the only term I know it as.
Okay. Well, AstroTurf,
like the home field advantage, you know, yeah. AstroTurf type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. AstroTurf is something that is fake, like a anti-gun group that's supposed to be grassroots, but actually have a billionaire giving them all the money and hiring people, hiring protesters, hiring people to hold signs.
Yeah, I think it's funny when you see some of these guys go to some of those anti-gun protests or rallies or whatever they call them, and these people can't answer a single question that they ask them. Like, they have no idea why they're even there, half of them.
Yeah. That is definitely true. And that shows you the AstroTurf method, where if you saw something like VCDL Lobby Day, no one there got paid for that, right?
Nope. I was there the whole time live streaming it of my own free will and my own volition. I went there not expecting a dime. I just went there because I am fighting for my rights, for one, and because I want the world to get the information that for themselves, you know, so they can make their own opinions about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So we see that, but there we also see the Moms Demand Action people who are paid. There was a lobby day during the summer a couple years ago, like 2019. I went there with my friend Devin. I was with the Jordan Stein of GOA. It's right after I came on as state director. And it was supposed to be our lobby day, and the Moms Demand Action was like a block away. Moms demand action. These buses pulled up. All the moms got off there. They went and they all posed with their signs in front of the Capitol. They had the reporters out there taking pictures. And I swear to God, right after they done that, they were only there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes for the whole entire time from getting off the bus to standing there with the signs, making a lot of noise while they filmed it. And then they got back on the buses and they left.
So just enough time to get some media attention and that's it.
Yeah. It was insane. It was like, what the hell was that?
Right. And if we did that sort of thing, it would be a joke and we'd never get anywhere.
Yeah, but it was insane. They pulled up. They made a lot of noise with their signs. Then they got back on the bus and left. I have no idea where they came from or where they went.
Yeah. They were on their way to the next rally, you know, another state away.
Who knows? It was just weird.
I wonder how much they get paid. Are some of them professional activists or rallyists or whatever you want to call them?
You can find those ads in Craigslist.
Yeah.
If you look, you can definitely find those ads in Craigslist.
I wonder if you could actually make a pretty good living off of doing that.
I think it's only like $15 an hour.
Yeah.
You meet up and they hand signs. One way you can tell is every single sign is identical.
Yep.
Identical font, identical print. They might say different things, but they're the same paper stock, same everything like that.
Yeah, somebody comes with a giant U-Haul full of them signs to hand out when they get there.
Yeah. That's what they were doing. I watched them. Actually, I got some pictures of it somewhere. I should find those. Where they just started, they're handing off signs of the people got off the bus. They were just handing them signs. And they had the Richmond mayor there who met them there.
Wow. Old Stoney, is that who was?
Yeah.
He was mayor.
It was Stoney. Yeah. It was just like, wow. I mean, this is insane. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of astroturfing methods are what are called botnet syndicate networks. Yeah, where a couple of bots. Yeah, he's talking about in the computer world, and that's exactly what they are. They're like the human botnets, the human zombie computers. You know.
Yeah. He's also saying that if we can get 26 states to, I guess, go with the constitutional carry, then we can sue on the federal government to get them to create constitutional carry throughout the rest of the country.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's even worth it, to the truth. Because there is an argument to be made, but it's not a 100% strong argument.
Right.
It's like one of those things where it's not exactly foolproof.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, 26 states, that'd be a good majority right there.
Yeah. Random stuff of love your content. Keep it up. I'm not sure what channel he's in, but thank you.
I think your channel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on yours. Yep.
Yeah, we are broadcasting to multiple YouTube channels like we always do. Yeah, so where do you see Virginia going on the state level?
Well, right now, I know Northam has just started to accelerate the whole marijuana legalization thing.
Yeah, well, people don't realize it doesn't mean you can go smoke marijuana and go buy a gun.
Because it's still federally illegal. So
it's federally illegal.
Right.
It's federally illegal. I don't agree that I don't agree that it should be illegal, but it is.
Right. Right. And so with that being said, because of the whole 4473 thing, they're hoping that more people will choose marijuana over their Second Amendment rights. Okay, so that's like a veil to try to get rid of or get people to give up their Second Amendment so they can have marijuana, which is absolutely ridiculous for one. So that way they don't have to pass any more legislation as far as this year goes. But I'm sure they will introduce some more next year. But the great thing is coming up in November, hopefully we can change our luck for the better with the elections coming up.
Okay, well, here's the thing, right? Hawaii did the same thing.
Right.
And they got a list of everyone. You had to get a card to get marijuana.
Right.
And they took the list and they sent a letter to everyone who had those marijuana cards saying, hey, you have a marijuana card now. Congratulations. You can get high. But, oh, your guns? Yeah, you got to hand them over.
Right. Well, see, the thing here is with what he's done now is he's only made it so that you can, well, first off, it's been decriminalized, so it'll only be a fine if you do get caught with it, and it won't go on your record or anything else like that. It's like a $25
it's like a $50
ticket. Fine. Yeah. And then, so his new proposal, because of the way they tried to do the other legislation, was that they passed the law, but it doesn't go in effect until 2024, or they're meeting on it again after the next election, basically, so they can assume that, you know, that's going to
run on it.
Run, right. They're going to run on it. It's going to regain their position in the House and Senate here in Virginia. But the new thing is that he made it legal for you to grow your own in your home, but it cannot be visible anywhere outside the house.
Yeah. I've never done marijuana. Never touched it.
Unfortunately, I can't say that. You know, I was a kid. I was into, you know, the whole rock and roll scene. And, you know, we partied quite a bit. You know, when living up in Massachusetts, that was kind of a... because there was nothing to do, so that's what we did. We played music and smoked weed.
No, I know a lot of people who have, but never appealed to me.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people where peer pressure really doesn't work on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't do it because of peer pressure. It was just, you know, one day I was like, hey, all right, I want to try that. I want to see what it's like for myself, you know?
Yeah, not me. Not me. Just something that...
Said I was a rebellious teenager, you know,
playing rebelled music against the man.
Yeah, playing music and smoking weed.
Yeah, M. Gabriel says it's like telling telling drivers you can own alcohol or you can have a driver's license, but not both.
Right.
Basically,
completely ridiculous. You know, alcohol is definitely a lot more dangerous than marijuana. That's for sure. I can tell you that for a fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was an EMT and we ran a call. A guy was shot. So we're like, oh, my God, some guy was shot. So please go in. And they call us in. And the guy's like, oh, my foot. It's like, how'd your foot get shot? Who shot you in the foot? He's like, oh, I thought I saw a snake on my foot. So I shot it.
Oh boy.
He was high as a kite and drunk. But he had a gun.
Yeah.
And imagined a snake on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to shoot it.
Yeah. I'm not a big drinker, but if I do drink, I am nowhere near any firearms when I do.
Yeah. Most gun owners are the same way.
Mm.
They always try to pitch this thing where, oh, they're going to get drunk and blah, blah, blah. Firearms Blog recently had an article, marijuana disqualification question to be removed. That would be good if it was.
Right.
I haven't seen that, though.
I do believe that, you know, the Biden administration, you know, of course, and the Democrats are... wanting to legalize it on a federal level as well. You know, I mean, you see how it's worked in the states that have legalized it. They've made a lot of revenue off of it. And the federal government, I think, wants in on that.
Legalizing it would solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. But we're gun chat here. And let's move on.
That's right.
Two non-marijuana smoking guys talking about marijuana. All right, so let's talk about this. I got this right here. This is a case. Let me just put this up here. This is my Bulldog case right here, and we're going to talk why I need this. All right, so here we go. People being caught with firearms this year is up, but a lot less people are flying. But more people are getting caught with guns because they know that they can fly with a gun, but they don't know how to. They think they can just throw it in their suitcase.
Right.
And you can't do that.
No, TSA doesn't like that very much.
No. So we're going to go over how you fly with a gun. Have you ever flown with a gun, Scott?
No, I have not. I've only flown twice in my life. So usually I drive everywhere I go.
Okay. We're going to go over the regulations. I've flown, I don't know, like hundreds of times. I didn't fly until I was like 25, and then I got a job where they sent me freaking all over the globe. And I hate flying. I really do. I'll be flying Monday.
Yay. Mm.
All right. So in order to fly a gun, fly with a gun, like I'm going to Florida, right? You have to pack it. You have to check it. First thing, you can't carry it on. You have to check it. That's probably common sense there. Mm-hmm. You have to declare it, which means you take it up to the counter in a hard case like this right here. This is a Bulldog case. They're pretty cheap. They sell them on Amazon. It's a TSA approved. A little TSA lock there so the TSA can open it up with their keys. What they would do, you go up there, you say, I want to check my firearm. And the people there are very familiar with that. So they'll say, okay. And what they would do is ask you to see the firearm. So you would take your hard case, you would unlock it. The case has to be hard. And it has to have locks. This has two locks on it.
Right.
And it has, so they would ask you to open up the case and show them the firearm. So you open up the case, you show them the firearm. The firearm has to be unloaded, the magazine has to be removed, and the ammunition has to be in a separate box. It can be in the same case, but it has to be in a separate box. The box it has to be in has to be the factory box that you bought the ammo in. So you cannot have your ammo loaded into magazines. That's a big no-no. And depending on your airline, they have different regulations about how many pounds of ammo you can have.
Right.
Most is around 10, 11 pounds.
Which I guess could be quite a bit.
Or it can be quite a bit or not a lot, depending on the caliber. You shoot 50, that's not a lot of ammo.
No.
So you have to check it.
Yeah.
A cool thing is if you're flying with a heavy rifle, that weight is not used against you. And it's usually free to check a firearm too.
All right, Don. Yeah, I've seen lots of reports of people going through the airports with their firearms stuffed in their carry-on bags or, you know, even still wearing them holstered because they have a concealed carry permit. They believe they can do that. And that's kind of I guess a new, especially now, that would be more of the new firearms owners not knowing the rules of flying or, you know, learning the state laws or anything else like that, you know, on that half, which causes them to go ahead and think that they can go, oh, okay, well, it's legal, I can do it.
Yes. And when you go pick up your firearm, you're not going to pick it. They're not going to put it on a little conveyor belt. You have to go to the security office. It's very easy, and it doesn't really take any extra time, especially if you're already checking other bags. It's not gonna really take a bunch of extra time, but I do want to see people, so you can stuff all your clothes in your checked in gun. It has to be in a separate case.
Hmm.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, they have a 55 pound limitation for a, like, a gun. That weight of the gun does not get affected by that.
So now you said it had to be TSA approved locks.
Yeah, because they can open it up.
Okay, so they have special keys themselves, like a master key that they can use.
Yeah, for if you look locks. Right here, let me just hold it up. It says TSA 007. This lock right here that tells them what lock will unlock this.
Right. All right. So basically, when you travel with firearms, you have to make sure you get an appropriate firearms travel case, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well. Right. And they're cheap. You can get them from Amazon or any online gun retailer.
Yeah. So you can't just, you know, grab a lockbox with a master lock on it and pass that off, right?
I mean, if it's a TSA master lock, maybe, yeah.
Okay.
As long as it's a hard case.
Right. Okay. Because, I know Pelican cases are...
Pelican will fall under TSA approved.
Oh, nice. All right. Cool. I got one here, so I guess I'm good.
You're good. All you need to do is get a TSA approved padlock.
Right. All right.
Yeah, you're good to go, man. But there's too many people that have been getting caught up and getting, like, trying to go through an airport. A couple of years ago, I was going through National flying to New York. I think, I don't know. I was flying somewhere. Maybe it wasn't New York. Where was I flying to? Maybe. I have no idea. I was flying somewhere. And a guy was going through... the security with his carry-on. Well, he was using his range bag as his carry-on bag.
Oh.
Bad idea. Because I don't know about you, but my range bag always have, like, loose rounds in it somewhere. Or casings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mine too.
And they put it through the X-ray machine, and the police showed up because he had loose casings.
Oh,
I was there listening, and he was trying to explain about that. Jason says he's heard horror story of people having layover and getting arrested because they didn't do something correctly or prepared. There was a case where a guy was arrested in New York. What happened? He had a layover at JFK, but his connecting flight was canceled. So he went and picked up his gun and everything from TSA, mm-hmm. and... it was illegal in New York. So they arrested him.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do in a situation like that if your flight gets canceled and you have a layover in New York? You know, I mean, and obviously they don't like people owning guns in New York, for one. But, you know, what do you do in that situation? That's kind of odd. I mean...
you got to contact TSA.
Hmm.
John, I will text you tomorrow after this. I have a lot of stuff to get done. Like, I'm still getting a bunch of stuff ready for my trip. But yeah, it's scary, man.
Yeah, definitely. So in an instance like that, so you know, if your flight's delayed for till the next day, you don't have to pick up your gun. Can you keep it with the TSA since you're going to be going back through the airport and getting on the airplane anyway?
Yeah. That's what you should do. If you want to not get arrested by police, the second you step out of the airport. You know? All right. With that, I want to talk about a new thing that GOA Patriot members can get. And everyone out there, if you want to become a GOA Patriot member, you can go ahead and go to gunowners.org. It's $25 a month, which is a good deal when I tell you what you get. There is a website called Big Daddy Unlimited
mm-hmm.
that sells like firearms at a discounted rate. They have a membership, and it's $10 a month for a membership. If you are a Patriot member or you want to become a Patriot member, that money that you spend at GOA, the $25 a month, will get you a free membership to Big Daddy Unlimited.
Right on.
All you have to do is call them up and say, I am a GOA Patriot member, and they will give you the discount. No questions asked. And people are worried that they have a list of our members. They do not. We don't share our list with anyone. So if you're a Patriot member, call them up. Let them know that you are a GOA Patriot member, and they will hook you up with your free membership. Not only that, but 50% of their membership is now going to GOA. So any membership that you get to Big Daddy Unlimited, you just say, hey, I want half of it to go to GOA, half of it goes to GOA.
Nice.
I want to thank them, and they have a lot of great gear. I'm going to bring up their website on the live chat. If you're listening on the replay, you're not going to be able to see it. But all you have to do is go to Big Daddy Unlimited. You can go ahead and Google them, BigDaddyUnlimited.com, and they have all the good stuff there.
Yeah, they just started this Big Daddy Unlimited thing a few years ago, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they're actually out of Florida somewhere, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, Jacksonville.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's only for... Richard Monder wants to know if it's lifetime members. It's only for Patriot members.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lifetime member. Patriot members give $25 a month. So you're basically only getting $15 a month because the other, you know, you're getting a free membership.
Right.
So... Yeah, and like 50% is going to GOA, which I think is incredible. I mean, they have some good prices. This is just a few examples. Like the Springfield Saint, it's like a lot of money off, man. Like $200 off the Saint.
Yeah, that's a deal right there.
Or this Chijikon, which is $639 retail. But, you know, you get money off. It's pretty cool. I want to thank them so much. Crazy Scotsman, I have not forgot about you. I've just been extremely busy. I let everyone know. We'll talk about that some more later.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I want to remind everyone that you can go ahead and get a membership to GOA by going to gunowners.org. Gunowners.org. You can help us fight for your rights in the Commonwealth and way beyond. Federal level, state level. We sue. We have a lot of lawsuits going on, and lawsuits are expensive. That's why we need members.
Mm-hmm.
We lobby. We have a multifaceted approach from suing to lobbying, to fighting bad laws, to trying to prevent bad laws. We do it all. And we only get involved in Second Amendment issues. We don't stray into other areas. And we would love to have everyone out there as members.
Yeah, and donate when you can. Like he said, it's not cheap. And it's not like these people are in it for a paycheck. So, you know... Every dollar counts.
I'll tell you right straight up. I don't take money to do the state director stuff. That all goes back into GOA. All goes back into fighting for your rights. And I give up a lot for my rights. And because I'm not only trying to protect my rights, I'm trying to protect the rights of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with that said, my name is John Crump. Catch me here on this channel a lot. We have the new GOA podcast coming out every Monday. And with that said, I'm going to kick it over to Scott for the final word. And remember, we might be doing this on Sunday next week or maybe a little bit later, because I'll be flying back in on Saturday. And it just depends on what time I get back. And hopefully we'll be able to do it Saturday, but you never know with flights, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because they've been on weird schedules lately with all this COVID stuff going on anyway. So, but all right. I mean, you can catch me here on YouTube, Patreon, sometimes on Gunstreamer. You'll see me on John's channel every once in a while. You know, and that's about it. Also, Facebook. I know people are watching on Facebook right now as well.
We are broadcasting to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, DLive. We're all over the place, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Stay ever vigilant. Stay ever free. Keep in the fight. And we are out. Peace.
This has been Virginia Reloaded, a Gun Owners of America podcast. Tune in weekly for the latest gun news from the Commonwealth and beyond. Check out Gun Owners of America at gunowners.org.